97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two. Jane is hanging out. Sue Thomas is here. I think we have lost the Hall of Famer for the day. He had a wedding to go to.
Yeah, he just sent me a picture.
Yeah.
It's at Bevo, Das Bevo. And he said, is that just Bevo Mill? And I said, yes. But they've redone the interior and it looks really pretty.
It's cool. It's a cool place. Uh-huh. It's a cool place. But so 4:30 wedding on a Friday.
Yeah.
That's unique, isn't it?
So then everybody gets to leave work.
I support that.
Fred did for sure. He absolutely left work. So when I was watching Jane, I say this for you actually, a little bit unintentionally, but I thought it would be a good thing to talk with both of you about because I think we're all fans. If I can get my mouse to work here. I was watching the, let me see if I have this because I thought I had the audio of this. I was watching TV over the weekend. Oh yeah. And then I saw this and you know what? Even though it's Oprah, I kind of want to watch this.
Oh my gosh.
You wrote a book, a memoir that your mother, Lisa Marie, started before she died. From Here to the Great Unknown.
I knew that Graceland was a place that she felt free.
All right, so have you seen this? This is an Oprah Elvis special.
No, but I want to because I love Riley Kehoe and I like the direction that she's taking Graceland.
She's the granddaughter.
Opening it up, yeah.
So listen, this is going through some stuff here. This will be part of the show.
Where are all these things like archived here?
Just out in the back.
Just out in the back, yeah.
This Bible.
Yes. Was his Bible? Oh, this is precious.
No, I think it says 1957.
1957,
yeah.
Okay.
And then this is Elvis's black box, which was basically like his purse.
Really? What's in here?
And he would travel with it everywhere. And we can look inside. It was just his sort of most personal things, and nothing's been touched.
Wow, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is.
And I have been dying. I mean, I've been to Graceland I don't know how many times because I'm a fanatic, but... I knew you were.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, but I want to see the upstairs.
I've never been.
And they didn't let you.
I was going to say...
She's going to open it.
Oh, she is?
Yes. That was one of the things. And there's a couple reasons. One, there was somebody living there for a long time. The first time I went to Graceland.
Who was that?
An aunt or someone.
Interesting.
And then...
How bizarre.
But he was that way, though. I mean, he let everybody in, and that was just the way he was. And then, as if I knew him. And, because I've read every book. But they also have to reinforce... I think that was one of the concerns, too, is that you have people up on the second floor. People assume Graceland is some big palatial mansion.
It's very small.
It's not. No. And so I think having that many people go upstairs, I think they do worry about structural.
Wear, tear.
Yes. And so, but she has said that she is going to open it up.
That's
so
cool.
I'm ready to see the throne.
So one of the more interesting things I ever did, and I went on the 11th anniversary of his death with a TV crew from Columbia, Missouri, because I was doing work with KMIZ at the time. I was doing a lot of my movie stuff back then, and we took a road trip to Graceland, and I never went inside because we were interviewing all the people outside.
Right.
And it's a fascinating experience because you got people there that went to high school. This was, you know, a long time ago, but people that went to high school with them, they bring out their yearbooks. And then Jane, and I've talked about this before, we went to I think it was maybe on the campus of Memphis University or Memphis State. They did, and maybe they still do this, but they did a memorial service on the anniversary of his death. This is, again, back in 89 or whatever. And it was fascinating because people would come and tell their stories. There was a columnist from the Chicago Tribune by the name of Bob Green. He wrote a bunch of books.
Yeah.
And Bob was one of the guys that was super into Elvis, and he was there. But the stories of Elvis with the women... The generosity, all
the things.
The
generosity is the...
Fascinating to hear the story.
It's a time capsule.
And, you know, Priscilla wanted a horse because she wanted... So then he said, okay, everybody gets horses.
Oh, my God.
And then, you know, he gets a new car. Everybody gets a new car. And that was one of the reasons. I mean, I think Priscilla, they weren't married at the time, but she and the family had to sort of get together and say, dude, like, you know, the estate was worth maybe $1 million when he passed away.
That's
and now it's worth... hundreds of millions of dollars.
Holy
They've monetized
cow.
It because he spent it all, but it was never really only for himself. It was for everybody.
It's really
charities,
nice.
Everything.
Yeah.
And so,
So an Oprah special, the Presleys. I can't say Oprah without saying Uma.
Oprah.
The Presleys, Elvis, Lisa Marie, and Riley, produced by Harpo Productions, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. on CBS, and then it will stream on Paramount Plus Paramount Plus with Showtime as well. So you can watch it if you miss it on Tuesday night. Let's do this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not
clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, we're going to do one on this day in history, and it has a little music, because on this day, 67 years ago, this show premiered.
Oh, this is, I didn't know about this.
Leave It to Beaver.
Spectacular.
Well, was it?
Starring
yes, it kind of
Barbara
was.
Billingsley, Hugh Beaumont, Tony Dow,
and
Jerry Mathers as the Beaver.
Poor Ethan's sitting here saying, you guys, people are so weird, right?
Eddie Haskell is a genius.
I pulled that earlier and I asked myself,
why?
Was there color TV when they were watching this back in the day?
No.
Well, the original episodes were black and white.
Oh,
were
yeah.
they all black and white? Did they ever
probably.
Yeah, I can't remember if they were ever in color.
This was not a show that I watched it, but it wasn't like something that I latched onto when I was young.
No, the number one show of that time period in my mind is Bewitched.
Oh,
ooh, that's a good one.
See, this is because you had older siblings.
Yes.
Because I got nothing.
Oh, I loved Bewitched.
So was that when the Twilight Zone was also?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Same vintage. Same vintage. I watched The Twilight Zone.
But The Twilight Zone was that was an evening show, and some of these shows were syndicated afternoons, right?
I met either Jerry Mathers or Tony Dow. One of them, I can't remember which, came to Channel 4, doing a book tour.
Oh,
and it was
awesome.
Surreal.
Yeah, just, it's weird.
It was weird.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, it was fun. And that was 67 years ago today.
Wow.
Well, in Moon News this week, we now officially have two of them. Did you know this?
Wait, what?
We've got a
no,
new...
I didn't either.
Stop. Yeah, what happened?
We have a new mini moon. It got pulled into our orbit this week, and it will be here until November 25th. It's only about the size of a school bus.
Okay.
And it's going to hang out till then, and then move on out of our orbit.
Is it... Can you... So obviously then we can't see it from...
I don't think the naked eye can see it. But, if you're like my cousin Andy and you've got those Sirius telescopes, I'm sure he can see it. I should ask him.
You see Peeping Tom?
Yeah.
Is that why he has that?
Yeah, that's why
he has a pretty cool constellation app, maybe if that would work or not.
Maybe.
Is this something that happens on a regular basis?
See, I don't know. Okay. I just read these things and I'm thinking, what?
Yeah,
I don't remember hearing
this before.
No, me neither.
In other moon news, NASA is moving ahead. I should have Wiggins come up with moon news.
No kidding.
Is moving ahead with its plan to give the moon its own time zone. Now, we might be able to build mushroom houses up there.
Wait.
A study found the pandemic lockdowns slightly lowered the moon's temperature because human activity meant Earth radiated less heat. So they're thinking about all kinds of things. Will the moon have its own time zone? And can we build mushroom houses on the moon in the said new time zone?
I like moon
right?
news.
So confused.
Okay, yeah.
I know. Moon news is interesting, but it makes my brain hurt.
I'm like, go back to the time zone. What does that even mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Would you have it 3 days after now? Because that would, because of the difference in the speed of sound and light.
What does
I don't
that
know.
Mean?
This is way too advanced for this show.
And
let me tell you right now.
And I went to college, and I'm just none of this rings a bell.
No.
Okay, Caitlin Clark is now WNBA Rookie of the Year. This is not a surprise. She plays for Indiana Fever, of course. Only one person of the 67-voter panel chose someone else. So the vote was 66-1 in favor of
really?
Clark. Somebody
did they identify the person?
No, they just said they. Of course, that person voted for number 7 draft pick Angel Reese,
of course,
who plays for Chicago Sky.
Political statement. Okay.
Yeah, pretty
definitely.
Much.
Wait, so is this the only one that they announced, or have they announced the MVP and any of that yet?
That's a good question. This is the only one I saw. Maybe they don't do it until the playoffs are over. Are they still going on?
Yeah, they're on.
They are
still going on.
They are going on.
But she's out.
Yeah,
is she out?
Yeah, okay. And apparently
and so
viewership
the
went
down.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm wondering, is there anyone else? I don't follow the WNBA. Is there anyone else that is going to even be in contention
for
MVP?
Well, first of all,
MVP?
What you just admitted there was misogynistic and racist both at the same time. But I don't know the answer to the question.
I don't either. I really don't. Okay, there is an incredible story out today. I'm going to try to do this justice. Okay, there's an 18-year-old kid named Sam Dutcher, and he's driving from North Dakota, kind of in the middle of the night, into Minnesota. Now, this is just on September the 17th, and he's driving a 2022 Honda Pilot, but At some point, the computer takes over his car, and he just continues to accelerate, and he cannot stop. So he calls 911, and he says, I can't, help me. I'm in this car, I can't stop, and it's going faster and faster. So the authorities tried some troubleshooting over the phone. They're saying, is there something on the accelerator? And he's like, no, I can't. And in the meantime, he's flying through intersections.
Oh, boy.
And he's scared out of his mind. At some point, he calls his mother, who also calls 911. So the authorities are trying to think what they can possibly do. They track him down, but nothing they tried worked. He spent around 20 minutes in the runaway car, flying through these intersections, 80 miles an hour, and then he's picking up speed 90 and 100.
Oh,
and
my.
At one point, the poor kid is doing 113 miles per hour. So
oh,
the police say, okay, we're going to try to put out sticks. We're going to try to do something. But
you mean the strips? Where
the
they,
strips
yeah,
of
where
the,
they,
yeah,
where they slow
the tires
slow
strips.
But
yeah.
They can't get in front of him. They're chasing him, and there's not enough time. So officers finally decide, okay, we know he's coming up to a T in the road. So they send out Minnesota State Trooper Zach Groover, and he raced up to him. And since he's got this car that can go that fast, his Dodge Charger, he goes 130 miles per hour in front of the kid. And another police officer, Zach Johnson, told Sam, just crash into the cruiser. He's getting out of it. He's going to leave it there. Just crash in. And he did, and it worked.
Oh, my Lord.
MacGruber saved the day is what I just heard there.
Wow.
Well, not with a B, with a V.
Okay.
Yes.
Because my car does do some automatic things. So this is like my worst.
Yes.
Okay. Did anyone say just turn the car off?
He couldn't. He tried. They tried, everything.
Okay.
He couldn't put it in neutral. He couldn't do anything.
Okay, but that's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yes.
So they had the car like in front of him,
yeah,
like to a stop,
like
or was it like was it braking and slowing down, to slow him down?
No, they because there was no way he would just hit them because he couldn't hit brakes. So they parked the car up in advance and got out at a T intersection. So and the other officer said, hit it.
That's crazy.
It's the only way we know how to stop you.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Did they tell him to crawl in the back seat?
Yeah.
I don't know about
that. There's a chance you die, but that's the part that's getting me.
I don't get that either.
Okay, you got to hit. This is the only way.
And in an interview, the kid said afterward, my mind started to go, I'm going to die tonight. But he kept his cool enough to follow the instructions. And then
he met the
state trooper who told reporters, when you're in the moment, the adrenaline is just pumping. I don't think I did anything special, says the trooper who pulled up and parked and got out.
Oh,
but I had the fastest car, and that's the only way to get in front of him. By the way, this kid is back at school. He is studying auto mechanics. No lie.
And now he's going to be a multimillionaire.
Right.
And
I think he should study computers, because I think that's what, I mean, that's all, that's computers.
You're right. That
is
pretty much, it is unbelievable.
That scares me.
It's just kind of what cars are now.
Went from moon news to that.
Yeah,
holy, this has been a crazy Suze news.
I am a little stressed right now. I've been triggered.
All right. Well, okay. I've got another one that's another nice and calm. Mark, do you want
me to
wrap it up or give
good.
You two? Okay. They released this week, you know, every now and then we get stories about what happened behind this, not necessarily the scenes of the movies, but what happened in the making of the movies,
yes.
Just random stuff that you didn't know.
Yeah.
And one of them was Megan Mullally was hired to voice an undisclosed character in Finding Nemo, but she was ultimately fired because they wanted her to use her Karen Walker voice from Will and Grace, and she refused. I guess she thought, it's just for that show, I'm not giving it to another character, so they got rid of her. Michelle Pfeiffer was literally vacuum sealed into her Catwoman costume.
That I believe.
Because
I remember that.
Wow.
Vacuum sealed.
Wow.
How do you get... And Chris Farley was originally cast as Shrek. And he recorded about 85% of his lines before he passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
I didn't know that.
It would have changed the entire thing.
Yep. Yeah.
And when Mike Myers took over, he asked for a rewrite because he didn't want to do the Chris Farley version of the script. He wanted to make it his own.
Well, that was smart. But, wow.
Yeah,
I don't think
smart.
I remember that nugget. That's interesting.
I didn't either. And finally, in Suze News, we have, I'm going to do two food-ish random facts because Jane is here. All right. Crayola released a line of food-scented crayons in 1994. They were called Magic Scent, and the wax sticks came in coconut, cherry, and licorice. But by 1995, they had taken them off the market because parents were afraid the kids would eat them. Mm-hmm. They smelled so delicious that 10 kids did eat them.
I believe it.
Nice.
And they had to yank it. So Crayola changed the scents to be less appetizing. So brown, for example, went from chocolate to dirt, and then no one ate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That,
but we
that.
Ate crayons. I mean, come on. We all ate crayons
so
in the
pretty.
70s, right?
They're so pretty.
You had me scratching
crayons.
My head, though, when you went from, we're going to talk about foodish subjects, and the first word was Crayola.
Right.
Well, here's another classic. Hot Pockets were called Chunk Stuffers when they debuted in the 70s.
No, that would not have been appetizing. Nope, I would have rejected that summarily.
It is on me tonight, guys. Chunk Stuffers.
Wow.
That's it for Sue's News.
That is wonderful. Thank you, Sue. We got Paul Hall coming up on Entertainment. I'm going to see a rock show tonight at the Pageant. This band, Coin. Ethan pointed out I missed the line where we were talking about eating crayons, and Jane actually said, well, I used to eat glue, right?
I ate glue.
How did I miss
and
that?
And I would torment my brother. My brother was two grades ahead of me in grade school. And I would go, and we had an open space school, which is just crazy, like no walls, okay? It was like an experiment that failed miserably. And I would like leave my classroom, of course, and I'd go over to where my brother could see me, and I would pour a bunch of glue on my tongue to freak him out.
Oh my gosh.
But that was the 70s. That's when nobody supervised us.
You know, this is the kind of story, knowing you for, I guess, about 12 years now, that doesn't shock me.
No, it does not.
It really doesn't. Let's go to the movies this afternoon.
2 years ago, the name Arthur Fleck hit Gotham like a hurricane.
The trial of the century.
They believe Arthur Fleck to be some kind of martyr. Well, he's not. He's a monster.
Paul Hall from Common Guy Films with us on this Friday afternoon. Sounds a little creepy. How are you, Paul?
I'm here.
I wasn't talking about you being creepy.
After last night, you know.
Well, Paul is in Milwaukee.
Brewers.
In the Brewers.
Oh,
dude,
yeah,
that was just
sorry. All
sudden. It happened very quickly with Pete Alonso, and he's just a meathead that I'd like to, right?
Little gut-wrenching.
Look, the Brewers had two outs. They're in the ninth inning. They're about to win their series and go on to the next round to play the Padres, I think, right? And nope.
We would have been out to Philly.
It would have been the Philly. That's right. And that's what we have now. And you know what's interesting? The Mets and the Phillies have never played in the postseason. That's hard for me to believe, but I guess they have not. All right. Tell me about the new Batman movie or Joker movie or whatever you want to call it now.
Well, you know, because I didn't see it, Mark. You know, I didn't go because I was a little sad yesterday. I was going last night. I've heard that I didn't miss a whole lot from those folks that I've talked to that have seen it. The new Joker film is very, very different than the first film. So if you didn't like the first film and the kind of tone that director Todd Phillips set, you may like this one a little better. Vice versa for those of us who did like the first film. This has got a lot of music in it, which... Not music like a good soundtrack, music like musical numbers, which to me is a little weird when it comes to Arthur Fleck.
Sounds weird
Lady
to
Gaga.
Me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, by the way, I just looked at this. This is stunning for a movie like this. The tomato meter has this at 34%, and the user rating is not much higher than that.
No, it's not getting good feedback from those folks who have seen it, and people I trust that have seen it, for the most part, have resoundingly said, yeah, not quite. It doesn't make it there. It's opening this weekend, and I think theaters are a little underwhelmed by the opening. They were expecting something bigger. I think that's a result more of what the film is.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's
unfortunate. It's not The Penguin. Wow. The Penguin is very good. That series is very good.
That's what I've heard. Paul, have you watched that yet?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is a good series.
That's a good one.
That hopefully will be good for DC along the way. I mean, they obviously have been getting beat a lot when it comes to comic book centric films and TV shows, so maybe they're going to make a comeback on Marvel with this. That's over on Max right now.
That's good.
I did catch up with Beetlejuice this week, though, and I don't understand what people's love of that is.
Like generally, or this movie?
This movie, Beetlejuice.
You didn't like it?
I was bored. Hey, you know, throughout the whole thing, and I kind of scratched my head, going, "Why are people going to this film in droves?" And I'm not really sure. Everything about it just seemed to plod along, and it just, I don't know. It didn't work for me throughout the film, and I just scratch my head when I see the numbers it's bringing in at the box office for weeks on end here. So,
well, Well, have you seen, I'm curious about this one. This one's called The Outrun. It's with one of my favorite actresses, Saoirse Ronan.
So how long have you been sober?
63 days.
It never gets easy. Just gets less hard.
My body is a continent. My breath pushes the clouds across the sky, and the waves roll into the shore in time with my beating heart.
All right, tell us about this one. The Outrun.
Man, this one is, it's one that I really got caught off guard by, and I really liked it. It's all Saoirse Ronan's movie. If she doesn't work, this movie doesn't work, because most of the time on screen is her. And it's her kind of going through her troubled past. So you get intermixed between her days in London being very much an alcoholic who kind of drove herself into the ground and did a lot of really despicable things, shall we say, to her coming to terms with that and in kind of changing her life around, even kicking and screaming. It's not necessarily something she wants to do, but it's about that journey of the individual. So you get everything about her seen with flashbacks to the thing. It's not an easy watch by any means. Hmm. Some people are going to relate to this probably too much as they see it, but it is really such a good performance by her that I can definitely recommend for those folks who like a more of an adult drama coming out of the summer now. The Outrun is a really, really good movie, and it shows that a good actress and a good actor can make a film work just by themselves.
I love her.
Yeah, I like her too. You know, I never went back. One of her first breakout roles was the film Atonement, which was, I think, my number one movie back then in 2006 or 2007. And I never went back and watched that one, but I always was curious because I liked her so much in it. What else did you want to cover here this afternoon, Paul?
Yeah, new theatrical as well, White Bird, A Wonder Story. This is, if you remember the movie Wonder back a couple of years ago that came out, Julia Roberts, I think it was Julia Roberts, or Julia Garner, and Owen Wilson, the story of the young boy who got picked on because he was very different when he went to school. Well, this takes it to another place as the boy that did the picking is getting a little older, and he's in a position where he doesn't really realize life until he meets his grandmother, played by Helen Mirren. And we go back in time to Helen Mirren growing up in the era of the Holocaust and the era of just that whole period. And it's fascinating. I sat with my wife and daughter at this at an early screening, and we were all moved virtually to tears by some of the stuff that went on. It's a very light version for those of you who want to introduce, say, kids to a really heavy subject, being the Holocaust and that whole area and the whole treatment of Jews. It's very timely. It is something that's out there now, and I can definitely recommend it. It's kind of a more adult, or not a more adult teen type of movie.
But that's theatrical?
Yeah, that's theatrical. That's in theaters now, and it's really another one. Caught me off guard being such a special movie.
Wow. We have a clip for this. It's What Insights What's Inside.
If you think of your brain as a hard drive, then this just transfers the files.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so, everybody ready?
I've not heard about this one at all.
Oh, this is over on Netflix. It's a surprising look, kind of a horror film that has this posit where a guy who's a very technically adept person, he's works in the gaming industry, comes to a wedding that's going on with a bunch of friends around, says, put these things on your temple and we're going to switch bodies. Hmm. Which, of course, everybody would jump on and do, and they do in this case. Now, whether they end up in the same body before it's all said and done, whether they or not, they may have some feelings that come out among all these young, good-looking folks in the room that they were kind of keeping hidden. You'll have to see the movie to find out. Better than I expected, again. This is one that I didn't expect much of anything other than just kind of this kind of teen or post-teen era horror flick, and instead, it gives you a little bit deeper look at something that's weird, just weird enough to go, if you could switch bodies, if everybody in the room there switched bodies, if, you know, Jane became Mark and Mark became Sue and Sue became Fred and Ethan became, what would happen?
It would be weird.
Well, that's something to think about.
Or not.
Yeah. I'll go with that.
One thing that I wanted to, Paul, I can't remember if you last week or maybe even a couple of weeks ago, did you talk about the Caitlin Olsen show High Potential or not?
It's really good. No, I have not talked about it in depth at all. It's because it's more network-based, but yeah.
Well, so, okay, I love that you said it's more network-based because, yes, I'm an elitist, and I don't usually fall into network, you know, based comedies or dramas. For example, I tried to watch Matlock because I like Kathy Bates. It didn't do it for me, right? But this show, High Potential, which I guess is an ABC show, is that right? It's on Hulu.
And yeah, it's coming on Hulu the day after. It premieres on ABC.
You have got to, you know, kind of buy into the nonsense because it opens essentially with Caitlin Olsen, who's super hot, and she's cleaning a police department, like as a janitor, in her sexy clothing, and then she kind of spills over the file of this murder case, and she, High Potential refers to her brain as like a high-functioning, exceptional mind individual. So she's brought into the police department to sort of solve a crime, and then they hire her as a consultant. So the whole thing is just would never happen. You have to, you know, suspend disbelief. However, she's so damn good in this, and Daniel Sujata, who was in Rescue Me, maybe best known for that, is great as well. So I really like this. Only two episodes out. I looked for the third episode this week. Then I found out that they're not releasing that until October 10th. So two out on Hulu right now. More to come later. But I liked High Potential quite a bit.
Definitely. It's one of those series that I think is going to find a niche and find an audience, especially when it premieres that second day on Hulu, because so many people are just not giving broadcasts the time of day these days. And that's not necessarily a good thing.
Yep. Live sports. That's where it's at. Paul, tell folks where they can find your reviews.
Simple. CommonGuy.com.
I can't remember just because my memory is so bad. But what happened? You're a Chargers fan, of course. What happened in that game last week with the Chiefs? Do you remember offhand? Like, because I don't.
We lost.
Yeah. I think is the word. See you later, Paul Hall. Take care. We'll see you. Kusumano's coming up. All right, this is a very special piece of bumper music here, Jane, for this segment. And I don't know if you'll recognize. I don't know if they do it at Alabama, since you're now a big Crimson Tide fan. But on third downs at Froh Field, this is what you hear. This song here. And I heard it last night in the Atlanta-Tampa song. You know this one? Have you heard this before?
I have heard this.
Frank Cusimano's with us this afternoon. This thing gets stuck in your head, Frank. They play it every third down in Columbia. Now I heard it again in the NFL game last night. But it is kind of catchy. How are you this afternoon?
Everything's great, Mark. Very excited about tomorrow at 11 a.m. in College Station.
Well, let's start there. Mizzou coming off the bye week. They didn't look too great a couple of weeks ago. They've had some time to repair. Look, I think, you know, you and I have kind of called it the same way. Brady's look a little shaky here, but the team, you know, one of the things, Frank, that I've put my trust in here in the last two seasons, last year in particular, this coaching staff has had this team prepared. Even when I thought they weren't quite ready, the coaching staff had them prepared. I'm going to have to hope that they did it for this trip to College Station tomorrow.
Yeah, and I don't think we're breaking ground here, and I think we both agree on this, is for them to win a game in front of 100,000 people against the top 20 is going to have a lot of touches. Yeah. And I'm sure Missouri knows that, but it doesn't happen often enough. And it's not always Luther Burden's fault. It's not always Brady Cook's fault. It's sometimes the OC and Coach Drink's fault. But Coach Moore, the OC, has got to find a way to get Luther the ball. Yeah. Texas A&M has a defensive end who's number one on Mel Kiper's pro football draft list. So I think a key to this game is going to be the Mizzou offensive tackles giving Brady time to throw and for getting him the ball to Luther Burden.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, the line is what, like 2.5 at this point, I think?
It is, yes. Mm-hmm. And Mark, I don't know if you've heard a little bit of the fun they've had this week. Coach Elko at Texas A&M has tried to feel like the Brady Cook has disrespected the Texas A&M crowd because Brady revealed this week that Mizzou is practicing with two loudspeakers like 2 feet behind him on every offensive play. And he says it can't be any louder than that. So Coach Elko says he's disrespecting the 12th man. We can't let this Mizzou quarterback do that. So look, if you're at a concert and that speaker's right behind you, I think that's awfully freaking loud.
I think too.
A 22-year-old senior can handle it.
So this is, you know, one of the things that I'm worried about. The run game for Mizzou has been relatively good. The Texas A&M run defense was earlier in the season, I think, a little bit better than it is in the last couple of weeks. But that's where Mizzou has sort of succeeded in the run game.
You're right. And, you know, Texas A&M, on the other side, they're not going to beat you via the pass. I mean, they want to make this game down and dirty. They want to keep it low in points. But I do think you're right, Mark. with the way Mizzou has run the ball, I mean, great success.
All right, well, I'm very much looking forward to having Bernie Miklas on the show. He's going to join me after 5 o'clock. We're going to talk mainly about the Cardinals, Frank. We visited on Monday afternoon after the news conference, and there's been a lot of reaction since then. So after digesting what happened on Monday at Busch Stadium and having the week kind of move along, any further thoughts or different thoughts than the beginning of the week on what happened there on Monday?
Well, I think it appears, although we have no, you know, proof about this, I think it appears that they're going to shop Nolan Arenado, Sonny Gray, and Wilson Contreras. And I think the fascinating thing is going to be is how will Cardinal Nation react to this? I mean, you're going into a season without anybody with any star power, and I don't think it's necessarily not a terrible thing to do to shop these guys because you're not going to win with them. But, boy, to go into a season with a bunch of guys that are 26 and younger without long resumes, I would not want to be Joe Strom, who's one of the great ticket salesmen in St. Louis history, trying to sell season tickets.
Well, and I understand that point, but I also think that our fan base is rather educated, and they've been so impatient and really disappointed in what's happened so far. And we loved Goldie and Arenado, and they came here to win championships, and I think we kind of let them down. Maybe the front office let them down. But I think the fans would be relatively okay if we're pushing forward to get the young talent on there. Again, is it a rebuild? Is it a reset? Whatever you want to call it, it's going to take a little while, and maybe getting the young stars or the young potential stars more playing time would be the best move now. And again, you can lose all the games early in the season and nobody shows up, right?
Yes, and the word young potential stars has a huge question mark behind it, because with the exception of Mason Wynn, there's only one young player that we know is headed for stardom. A couple of them could be good, but the rest of them have question marks.
How would you have liked to have been in that, I still call it Miller Park, American Family Field, that's BS, just like the Sears Tower, I'm going to call it the Sears Tower, but when Pete Alonso hit that home run, the Brewers are just an out away from going to the, you know, out of the wild card round to the division series, and Pete Alonso, the meathead that he is, just kills their dreams last night, Frank.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to disparage the Brewers because they own the Central Division. It's their division. The Cardinals just rented there now. But it is amazing the lack of success and the total futility of the Milwaukee Brewers in the month of October. They're incapable of having a long run. And Alonso, you know, say what you will about him, he's had some big moments, and that was special last night. And never root against a guy whose last name ends in a vowel.
And good point there. And how about Mike Schilt getting to the next level also?
Absolutely love it. One of the great mysteries in St. Louis sports is why was Mike Schilt fired? And I'm rooting for the guy. Could not be nicer. And, you know, the great thing, you know, the thing about him is that talent level on that Padre team. I was looking at that starting eight, and I'm wondering who in the Cardinals could actually start for the San Diego Padres. I mean, Mike Schilt may have been wounded and devastated leaving the organization he grew up in, but boy, he is managing a much better team right now for the next 3 or 4 years.
Hey, one more topic here. Do we have a sense? I think they won last night in overtime. The Blues are in the preseason right now. Hockey season just around the corner. Any sense of how they're playing right now, Frank?
Well, up until that moment, they had been horrendous. They were 1-4, outscored 15-8. But last night, they had their best players out on the ice, and they looked good. I think, you know, Mark, what you talked about that Cardinal model. I think Cardinal fans would be content if they had a Blues type of game plan where they've infused a team with young talent that you know is going to come through. And I think the Blues, although they may not be a playoff team this year, they are definitely in the right direction.
What's coming up on Sunday night?
Okay, couple things. Brady Cook, exclusive interview on our Sunday night quarterback segment. We sit down with Ben Fred talking baseball. And a look at the most fascinating basketball figure, or one of them, in St. Louis history. His name is Drew Hanlon from Webster Groves High School, a 5'11 white guy who played small college basketball, who Jason Tatum, Brad Beal, Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo all go to him to learn how to become a better basketball player. I don't know how he's done it, but it's an amazing story.
That sounds it. You've hooked me in with that tease.
Definitely.
I'll tell you that. We will tune in on Sunday night. Thank you, Frank. Have a great weekend. We'll talk on Monday afternoon.
Okay, guys, take care.
Hopefully, right. After Mizzou Tiger victory. I'm so nervous about tomorrow. Okay, Jan, I'm hoping because if they get off, this is what I do just because mentally I can't take the torture. If they get off to a bad start tomorrow, I might just turn the game off and say I cannot watch this. You're going to have to resist.
Okay. You're going to get the food, whatever it takes, get the pound cake, whatever it takes for you to sit there because I think this bye is going to be good for them and I think they're embarrassed and they're going to want to.
Okay, well, we are still pointed because you, and we've mentioned this before, your daughter works for the University of Alabama Athletic Department, so you become a bit of a Crimson Tide fan by default. A little disappointed in that. However, since the Tigers play in Tuscaloosa in a few weeks, we're going to the game together. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And once you've been in Bryant-Denny, I mean, I was not even a college, you know me, I was not even a college
football
fan.
That place looks pretty incredible.
Until I went to Bryant-Denny and I'm like, oh my God, this is something that you can't even. It's unmatched.
Yeah. It is unmatched.
It's unmatched.
So how did they, because
we're gonna tailgate.
When I was watching last week, when I was watching Georgia and Alabama, I mean, it looked like the lines then you do not want to go into as an opposing fan. Is that, am I going to have to wear red?
Yeah, you're going to have to learn the words to Dixieland Delight or you can't be there. You cannot be there.
I know the words to Afternoon Delight. Does that count?
No. You were going to have to, I'll send you and you have to get the Alabama version because it has its own words.
You can educate me.
Yeah.
Good luck against Vanderbilt. The Tide plays them. Yeah. Ethan thinks it's a bit of a trap game. I would love to see that happen, right?
I would
Stop
not.
That.
How
I
do
would
you
not.
Feel about A&M tomorrow?
You know, I think that right now it's up for grabs. I think that I could see Mizzou holding their own. I could also see Mizzou completely fumbling the bag and just getting the crap.
You didn't really instill confidence there, I don't think.
I know. We're beleaguered Mizzou fans.
I still like Mizzou in this game, but I just think it's hard to be super optimistic for either side right now. It's going to be a good game.
Well, we'll get thoughts from Bernie Miklas is going to join us. He's doing some regular stuff on our sister station, KMOX, and I thought, you know, it'd be a good opportunity to get Bernie on, especially this week talking about the Cardinals. Rick Wakeman, also at the bottom of the hour, he was a legendary keyboardist with Yes. He is coming to play the final one-man solo tour at the Sheldon, which is an awesome venue on October 20th. And I spoke with Rick a couple of weeks ago, and he was very excited about the show and the interview, so he's going to join us right around 5:30. Jane, have a great weekend. Enjoy the football, and we'll talk on next Friday.
You got it.
All right, see ya.
Get more at 971talk.com.